This is the Clarion Report, watching, reporting and counteracting global terrorism.
David Harris, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
All well and good.
Excellent. Good to hear. So joining us in studio, Major David Katz. He is a military strategist. And we already started having some of this conversation about Iran and the United States. Your view, are we heading towards a conflict? Are we heading to war? Well, we're in a conflict. Are we heading towards war?
I don't think so. I think this is posturing from both sides. The question is whether the Iranians will use any of their terror proxies, including Al-Qaeda, to launch any form of attacks against American interests. I think that that is more likely than an all-out war, but also that, I think, is the chances are less than 50%.
Yeah, David, I mean, that's more or less, Major David Katz, that's more or less what you're saying. It's not going to be a full war, but there might be, there might well be certain activity or strikes or something.
I think so. And I also think that an incident would work very well for the Iranians, and the Americans most probably were trying to avoid it at this stage of the game.
But why would it work for the Iranians?
Well, certainly it would galvanize their population behind
which
the,
is what you're saying an, this is about.
Behind a government that's basically in trouble. That's my feeling. So a small incident would work very well for them, yeah.
That's very similar to what just happened in Gaza, of course, that we were talking about last week. The attacks on Israel from Hamas and Islamic Jihad happened just 2-3 weeks after the largest anti-Hamas protests that had ever taken place in the Gaza Strip.
Of course, I didn't think of that. So, in fact, what's what David Katz was saying earlier is that one way to a very simple way to galvanize and to get your population behind you is to create a warlike situation.
It's one of the oldest political games in the world, just to do that. Yeah.
So, David Harris, how do you think this is going to play out? Because we've got an incredible amount of tension in the area. The Iranians obviously very disappointed at how the situation has played out with regard to Europe. The United States, it's known for a while, is certainly not towing their line. What next?
So let's follow what David Katz was saying, which I think makes a lot of sense, and argue that a lot of this is just posturing and trying to get the Iranian public behind the Iranians, and in the case of Donald Trump, I'm sure trying to get the Americans behind him. Behind closed doors, it would appear that if not already, very soon, the leaders of the two countries will be talking. Now, of course, they'll deny that and so on, but there will be talks between the Iranians and the Americans, trying to bring them back from the brink, but more seriously and substantively dealing with the issue at hand, which is the nuclear agreement. There are many people who still believe that the nuclear agreement was a good idea because it puts in place the checks and balances. On the other hand, of course, there are those who say that it was an absolute disaster and should never have taken place, never been instituted in the first place. But I think it both parties have an interest in talking to each other, not just to de-escalate the situation now, but to try to create some form of workable framework which will satisfy the Iranians where they can save face, but which also satisfies the defense concerns of the United States and the rest of the West.
If it's just posturing, then does it de-escalate? I mean, we have seen this style with Donald Trump before. I mean, that's exactly how he's behaved, when he's gone into a negotiation in every single difficult time. He pushes it as hard as he can. He insults the people. He, says that his red button's bigger than somebody else's red button. And then ultimately they're shaking hands and trying to form an agreement. We've seen it with China. We've seen it with North Korea. That's his style. We saw it with Russia, the same thing. So is it likely that that's what's going to happen here too?
makes perfect sense. And don't be at all surprised if we find out that the Russians are heavily involved in this as well. Whilst a lot of Americans have a problem with it, Donald Trump has fostered a very good relationship with the Kremlin. And given the leverage that the Russians have over the Iranians, you could very possibly see behind the scenes again Russians trying to broker a deal between the two parties that maybe will ease the sanctions for the Iranians, which of course would be that face-saving move that makes the regime a little more popular with the, with their own people, but whilst also, shall we say, lifting the foot off the enrichment accelerator.
Fascinating indeed.
I don't see Donald Trump compromising on allowing the Iranians any type of nuclear capability whatsoever. I don't think there's room for compromise on that. And also, just judging by the way he's taken on the sanctions, putting the screws tighter all the time, I just don't think he's going to let go. He's just not. He's proved that once he gets his teeth into a situation, that he doesn't let go. He doesn't really go backwards on it. I'm not seeing that, especially with China and trade relations with China. I mean, he hasn't gone back on that. I mean, he's stuck to his guns.
I think the problem that we have with the Iranians, and I hear what you're saying, David, I think the problem here is that a lot of what the Iranians have been doing over the years has been done secretly, in bunkers deep below the surface of the earth. You know, and even the most advanced radar technology can't necessarily know what's happening there. As a result, what you really need are boots on the ground. And I don't mean, you know, soldiers running into Iran, but rather spies. It's something that one would imagine the Israelis are rather adept at. Every so often when we've heard of mystery explosions around nuclear sites in Iran, we have been able to assume that this has been the work of the Israelis. And I have had it directly from one of the most senior people in Israel, that is the case, although they would never say that publicly. And I think that that is the only way that you can absolutely be sure of what the Iranians are actually up to and then subsequently disrupt. I do not see, even though there are B-52s now sitting in the American Air Force Base in Qatar, I don't see them taking off, firing bunker busters, in the direction of these nuclear facilities. I don't see that happening. I think it will purely be what we've already seen until now, which means spying on the ground and so-called accidents.
How nervous do you think both Israel and Saudi Arabia are as allies with the United States in this regard?
I think, if you're asking me, I think Saudi Arabia are the ones who are the most nervous. The Gulf countries are the most nervous. It's no coincidence that these countries have moved ever closer towards Israel in the last 3-4 years. They have a common interest, which is the protection of their own sovereignty, of their own people. And the common enemy that they have right now is Iran. That's why the Saudis right now are fighting against Iranian interests in Yemen. That's why the Saudis are investing heavily time, political time and effort in Lebanon. The Iranians are spreading their hegemony around the Middle East right now and much further away. And I think that those countries right across the Gulf that can almost see Iran with the naked eye are the ones who have the most to be worried about. I think the Israelis are more quietly confident about their own abilities to defend themselves.
And they've been dealing with this for a very, very long time. It's certainly not a new story for them.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. The Israelis have been watching Iran for such a long time. They've developed an entire defensive system, the Arrow, around the Iranian threat. The Arrow system, you know, developed along with the Americans, is just a phenomenal response to the Iranian hostility, and once again shows how much the Israelis are prepared to invest in defensive measures. Rather than going to all-out war, they're much more concerned about protecting their own people. And I think we're seeing that the Saudis and others in the Gulf are developing a similar kind of mindset.
David Harris from the Clarion Project. Thank you as always. That's where we leave it. We'll chat to you next week. Same time, same place. It is 8:55. Major David Katz, he's been in studio. Thank you as always for your wisdom and your input.